Good morning, and welcome to the worship services of Grace United Methodist Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. We're glad you're here. We welcome all of those who have returned to celebrate in-person worship with us, those in the sanctuary, and those who have joined us online all around the world. We are coming to you from the sanctuary of Grace United Methodist Church here on Harbison Boulevard in Columbia, South Carolina, and we welcome all who have joined us to celebrate our service this morning. The pastor of Grace is very good at sending out emails every day. We have a devotion that comes out every day through an email list. And if you're not on that email list, we would invite you to call the church office or send an email to pastor at Grace UMC Columbia. The information is in the bulletin. Our bulletin is online this morning. If you would like to receive that email and be blessed by the devotions that come out every day, we invite you to go ahead and participate in that. Also, we have a congregational participation opportunity that comes out every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We would typically be meeting in between our first service and our second service with Sunday school. And we have a Sunday school gathering. Well, that gathering has now been replaced by a Zoom gathering every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We invite you to grab a cup of coffee and look at the enrollment information that comes out in the email or in the bulletin and participate with us and give you a chance to see your fellow congregants and enjoy a Sunday morning break with them. We also have a midweek Zoom fellowship at 6:30 on Wednesdays. And again, that information is in the bulletin, and we invite you to participate with that as well. It's important that we remain a congregation here at Grace, and we invite all that might want to participate in that. We celebrate with all of those who are celebrating anniversaries and birthdays this past week and upcoming week for anniversaries. We have David and Rita, our own pastor and Lolly, and Ronnie and Beth are celebrating their anniversaries this week. Birthdays this past week and upcoming week. Suzanne, Judith, Michelle, Kristen, and Noah, Tony, Kathy, and Jeremiah, and Hannah. We wish all of you a happy birthday. We wish you were here for us to sing happy birthday to you, but know that we're singing in our hearts, and we wish you glad tidings and a happy birthday to all. Again, if you would like to participate in in-person worship, there are instructions for how to do that. We ask that you call the church office before Friday at noon and let us know that you're going to be here so we can make sure that we take care of all of the accommodations that we have to do to make sure everybody is safe and comfortable in our congregational gatherings here at Grace. And if there are no other further announcements, hear these words. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us prepare our hearts, our minds, and our spirits for worship.
As we continue our entrance into worship today, I just want to remind those who are in attendance in person that our guidelines are for you not to participate in any spoken or sung parts of the service as part of our return to in-person worship guidelines at this time. You're invited to meditate and respond in your hearts at those points where you would previously have been speaking or singing. And you're also asked to remain seated throughout the service, except for at the reading of the scripture lesson, and we'll be prompting you at that point. Those worshiping online and at home are encouraged to sing, stand, and respond out loud as we make our way through the service. You'll also notice that I have removed my mask this morning as I've stood to begin leading in worship. This is due to wanting to be able to have the best sound that we possibly can. We found that we can't get a great sound quality with masks on, as well as to protect our wonderful singers, those who are leading us in song, as it's quite difficult to breathe in a mask and sing at the same time, and we want them to be safe as they are leading as well. And so you'll notice that that those of us who are leading are removing our masks, but all those others who are not leading vocally remain masked in our sanctuary while we're here for worship. And now let us pray. God, let us count the ways you never leave us. Your light of day greeted us this morning, the smell of the crisp air of a new day, the melody of the birds whispered your love in our ears. These are among the good morning gifts we give thanks for. Another day in your precious presence. Come what may, this day we will praise your holy name, and so we greet you this day with shouts of joy and thanksgiving. Amen.
We worship together through the singing and hearing of wonderful words of life.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Amen. I want to say good morning to the children worshiping us at home this morning. We're glad to have you gathered around with your families, worshiping this day and participating with us in worship. And today, I want to give you all a little bit of homework. I don't want you to rush out and do this right now. You can do it today. You can do it over the course of the week. But what I want you to do sometime between now and next Sunday is go outside and play in the dirt. For a lot of y'all, that wasn't going to be a problem anyway. You were going to do it whether I asked you to or not. But I want you to go outside and I want you to play in the dirt sometime this week, sometime today if you've got time to do it, but go outside and find some way to play in the ground, to play, to dig, to plant something. If you've got a garden, to go and see the garden and work in the garden, but to be in the dirt sometime this week. Our passage of scripture we're going to read in just a little while talks about how God is the good sower. The sower of the seed of the kingdom of God, the sower of God's love and God's grace in our lives and in the world. And we hear in that sometimes as God is scattering that seed, as God is sending us out into the world, as God is planting things in us, sometimes that seed that God has for us lands on good soil and it produces great fruit, but sometimes it lands on not good soil and it doesn't bear fruit in us. Sometimes when we hear God's message of love and compassion, when we hear about God's grace, when we hear that God loves us, when we hear that God wants us to be faithful to God and do what God asks us to do, sometimes when we hear all that, it doesn't make any impact and it doesn't change how we live our lives. And so I want you to go outside and I want you to find some dirt to play in and think about how you can be good dirt for the Word of God, for the grace of God, so that you can do what God wants you to do, how you can be good soil for something to grow from you for God's glory and God's kingdom, so that others might know about the good news of Jesus Christ and that he loves them. So I want y'all to do that this week. Go outside, get dirty, find some dirt, play in it, dig in it, plant in it, pick something from a garden, and be outside in the dirt this week and be good soil every day. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you that you have given us a great word, a great news, great love and grace and compassion for us in our life. We ask that you would help us to receive it and to help to grow good fruit for your kingdom. Help to scatter more seed of your love and your grace in the world. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, the one who sows the seed and tells us how to live. Amen. This morning, as we prepare our hearts to go to God in prayer and to lift our prayer concerns to the Lord, I want to remind you that if you do have prayer concerns you'd like to share with the church in worship or through the prayer concerns list in the bulletin, you can email them to me at pastor@gracecolumbia.org. You can also email the office, office@gracecolumbia.org, so that those can be printed or read aloud during our worship service, prayed aloud during our worship service on Sunday morning. On Thursday each week, there is a prayer email. As Sam alluded to, we have emails going out daily. The Thursday email is a prayer email. It's sent to all on the church email list, and so the prayer concerns that we hear prayed on Sunday morning are listed there, and there's also links back to our prayer list and the bulletin that come out in that that email, as well as the actual prayers that are prayed. And so if you'd like to be a part of the email list so you can receive the prayer email as well as our other emails during the week, you can also email me or email the office. And again, that's pastor@gracecolumbia.org or office@gracecolumbia.org to be added to those lists. At this time, let us pray. O God of mercy, in Jesus Christ, you freed us from sin and death. And by your Holy Spirit, you nourished our mortal bodies with life. You call us to love one another and share one another's burdens. And so today we pray for all those who cannot leave their homes and apartments, especially for Ernestine, Violet, Ed, Peter, Flora, June, Marion, Jeanette, and all who are highly vulnerable to COVID-19. For all those suffering from other ailments for whom treatment is now more difficult and dangerous. For the friends and family of Reddick at his passing. For the friends and family of Sue on her death. Both of these are lifted by Donna Houston. For all those who are grieving, for Shannon Smith, for Joyce Sweeney and Daryl, for Betty Arant, for Kathy Murphy and her family, for Joan Smith, Betsy Smoke's mother, and for all of their family, for Mikey, Kristen, and Andrew, for Kim and David, Kim is Kathy Jennings' sister, for Bev, Kathy's friend, for Bernard Presley's father and mother, for Steve and Jody Webster, for Luther, Bill Cranford's father, for for Rita Pardue, for Janice Seeley, for Clyde, a good friend of Leah and Keenan, for Steve, who's the husband of Kim, a co-worker of Roger Bryant, for Mark, a close friend of the Smokes, for Sarisa, for Renee, for Joe, who's Kitty Fashing's brother, for Wendy, Ken and Kitty's daughter-in-law, for all healthcare workers, our veterans and VA staff, and for all the members of Grace and their families, for all those on our prayer concerns list, for those prayer concerns that go unspoken on our hearts this day, and for our nation and the systemic racism and culture of white supremacy to be eradicated from our shared life together. Plant us now in good soil, that our lives may flower in righteousness and peace. And this day we continue to pray as Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
We worship together through the singing of Fairest Lord Jesus. Please stand for the reading of the gospel lesson.
Our scripture reading this morning is verses 1 through 9 and verses 18 through 23. Hear these words of God. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, for they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." And continuing with verse 18. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the words of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Amen. So sometimes we use this parable from Jesus about the sower and about the seed that's scattered on the ground, about the soil. We use this parable to justify lackluster faith and discipleship. We've twisted things all around sometimes for ourselves as disciples and in the church. Sometimes we'll take this parable of Jesus about what it means that the word of God is being sown in the world, and we'll use it to justify lackluster faith and discipleship. And we do that by making it about others being bad soil. And we do this in a preemptive way. It's like, well, I would go and tell them about Jesus, or I would go and tell them about what's going on, but I'm just not sure that they'd listen. I'm not sure that they're quite ready to hear the message yet. I don't think that they really have it, in their heart yet to receive what I want to give them. They're just not quite there yet. They're hard-packed soil, or they're rocky soil, or they're soil with thorns and weeds all over it. We approach this passage and we make it about others being bad soil, the others around us, not ready yet for the gospel, not ready yet for the good news, not ready yet for what we're doing at Grace. But this inherently puts us in the place of the sower, doesn't it? When we read this passage, if we think to ourselves, well, I would go out and sow some seed, but there's just so much bad soil around me in my community, in my world, I'm just not going to do that. It inherently puts us in the place of the sower, where we are dispensing what they need. And if they won't let it take root, then that's not on us. They're just bad soil. And even if we think, well, they're good soil and maybe I just won't see it come, we're still putting ourselves in the place of the sower in this passage. We're still setting ourselves up in a posture that puts us not only in the position of the one who dispenses what everybody needs, who dispenses the seed out into the world, but it also puts us in the position to be the one who judges the soil. We read this passage this way, and we make it about being able to judge who's good soil and who's bad soil. When we make it about us being the ones who have what needs to be given to the world and given to other people, we inherently put ourselves in the position of the one who's judging and doing the sowing. The interesting thing about this passage is that Jesus tells this parable as though he is the sower. He tells it as if God is the sower. Not us. He's not saying you go out and sow and then things will happen. He tells this story as though it's him who's doing the sowing of the seed, as though it's God doing the sowing of the seed in the world. If God is the sower, that means we're located somewhere else in the passage. We don't get to be that person who has the stuff that the whole world needs. We don't get to be that person who has this seed that everybody should want to get. We don't get to be the person who judges between the different kinds of soil out there in the world. We don't like that. We want to be the one who gets to decide where the good soil is. But if God is the sower in this passage, and that's how Jesus tells this parable, that means we are located somewhere else. We are not the sower. We're not the judge of the soil. Instead, I think there is value for us in thinking of this passage from two perspectives, actually. Not just one. We're not just going to locate ourselves one place in this passage. We're not going to let ourselves think about ourselves as the sower anymore either, but we're going to think about it as, what if we are the soil? And what if we are the seed? If we're not the sower, if we're located somewhere else, then what if we are the soil? And what if we are the seed? First, if we take this, the question that we hear is, what kind of soil are we? If we're the soil, if we start there, then the question this passage begs of us, each and every one of us, as individual disciples and as the church, the question it begs of us, that it poses to us, is, what kind of soil are we? Not what kind of soil is everybody else. What kind of soil are we? Are we hard-packed soil? Been so worn down on the path of life that no truth or compassion can penetrate it? Are we rocky soil with no depth, shallow and rootless, burned up at the first sign that things aren't going to be easy, go quickly, or go our way? Are we thorny soil? Thorny and weedy, too preoccupied with the fruitless pursuits of the world to truly grow and thrive in discipleship? Or are we rich soil, full of the nutrition needed to nurture the seed planted in us by the sower so that it will bear much fruit? We could go through all of these different types of soil and we could try to examine them and pick them apart, but really the question comes down to one simple evaluative tool, one simple method to know what kind of soil we are, and Jesus gives it to us in the passage. Jesus tells us, this is how you'll know what kind of soil you are. Jesus, in the passage, shows us exactly what to look for. Do you bear fruit? Do we bear fruit for the kingdom of God? The answer is found in our fruitfulness. Jesus says the good soil bears fruit 160, 30-fold. Do we bear fruit in our discipleship and in our faithfulness? This idea of bearing fruit is difficult for us, primarily because we like to think a lot about our intentions, not our fruitfulness. We like to talk a lot about our intentions, not our fruitfulness. We'll say, well, I didn't mean it that way. I wasn't trying to offend. I intended to resist evil, oppression, and injustice in whatever forms they present themselves. I meant to support the church with my prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. I intended to tell others about the good news of the grace of Jesus Christ. I meant to go out into the world in mission and outreach. I really thought that I was going to be out there loving my neighbor as myself. My intentions were good. I intended to. But I didn't actually follow through. I intended to. But I just never quite grew up in faith to bear any fruit. The answer to what kind of soil we are is found in our fruitfulness, not our intentions. Our intentions are, they're just in our head. We convince ourselves that because we had good intentions, we were doing all the right things, but we never bore any fruit in the world. Or maybe we bore a little bit of fruit and we got satisfied with, I have borne one fruit. And that's going to be good enough. But Jesus says that the seed planted in good soil bears fruit 160 and 30-fold. Not that it bore one fruit and then was satisfied. Or not that it had good intentions of bearing fruit. And it just didn't quite work out. Jesus says the seed planted in good soil bears fruit 160 and 30-fold. It's interesting because in the Jewish agricultural worldview, a good crop was a 7-fold return. If somebody had a 7-fold return on their crop in the ancient world, that was phenomenal. They were having a fantastic year. But if somebody had a return of 100 or 60 or even just 30-fold, they were pretty much set for life. They wouldn't have had to work again. They could have sold that crop and moved and retired just on one crop. And Jesus says that seed planted in good soil bears fruit 160 and 30-fold in our faith and discipleship. So the question we have to ask ourselves, each of us as disciples, each of us as the church, each of us as those who are followers in the way of Christ, we have to ask ourselves, are we fruitful? Are we bearing fruit 160 and 30-fold? Are we bearing fruit 7-fold? Are we satisfied to bear one fruit or to have good intentions to bear fruit? Now, maybe a better question, a better question is, where in our life are we bearing fruit for the kingdom? I think we're all bearing fruit for the kingdom somewhere. Each and every one of us, as we live out of our giftedness from the Holy Spirit, as we live out of our passion for our ministries and the ways that God has called us into mission and ministry, each of us bears fruit for the kingdom. But it seems to me that all of us have times and places in our lives where we are all four types of soil, a lot of times simultaneously. There are areas of my life that are hard-packed path. There are areas of my life that are rocky as they can be. There are areas of my life that are overgrown with the weeds of the world. And then there are areas of my life where there is good soil, where the fruit of the kingdom of God can burst forth in me. But the challenge for us in discipleship, part of the challenge is not only examining, are we fruitful? Are we good soil? We are good soil. There is good soil in us. That's part of the promise that God creates us good and in God's image. There is good soil in us. The challenge of discipleship is to learn to live in the good soil of our faith and life. The challenge of discipleship is to stay in that good soil and then to let it cultivate good soil in the other places that maybe aren't so great. See, a lot of times we'll live on the hard path of our life, or we'll live in the rocky soil of our life, or we'll live in the weeds of our life when the good soil's right there waiting on us, but for whatever reason, it doesn't have that same appeal. Well, that soil's already good. Let me go over here. It's more fun over there on the hard path. See, I think we all have these soils in our life. They all are a part of us, and we have to learn to live in the good soil and to bear fruit. At bearing fruit for the kingdom of God, telling others about the good news of Jesus Christ, helping them along the path of discipleship, making sure that the least, the last, and the lost know the love of God that is in this world for them, know that the grace of God is in this world for them, know that we love them and are for them in this world, that we go out in mission and ministry to make sure that all the world knows about Jesus Christ. That's us bearing good fruit in the world, but we have to truly examine ourselves and ask, are we fruitful? Are we fruitful to the level that Jesus describes in this parable, 160 and 30-fold? And if we're not, then we have to reinvest in the good soil of our life. We got to figure out why we are living so much on the hard-packed, rocky, and weedy soil. Instead, so that we can turn and repent and live in that good soil that God has for us. And as we're considering whether or not we're bearing fruit, I think this is where our second perspective on this passage can come into play, where we ask ourselves, what if we are the seed as well? Not just what kind of soil are we, but what if we are the seed? We as the church, we as followers of Jesus Christ, we who are walking on the way of Christ, what if we are the seed? What if we are that which God is sowing into the world or wants to sow in the world? Everywhere in the world that we go, the hard, rocky, thorny, and good soil of the world, what if we are that which God is scattering to the ends of the earth? We don't protest having to go places that we think aren't good soil. We go where the sower scatters us. What if we're the seed that God is throwing out into the world? And what if we go wherever the sower scatters us, knowing that there's going to be both good soil and soil which doesn't lend itself to our bearing fruit, but that we're seed and we don't have to worry about it because God is the sower, that we just go where God scatters us. We go where God sends us. We go and take that good news into the world. We're not just one seed, each of us individually. We are a handful of seeds being scattered throughout our life into every place that we go, every person that we meet. We are thrown into the world to be grace manifested, to be the body of Christ redeemed for the world. What if we're the seed that's scattered on the good, the rocky, the hard, the weedy, but that's scattered? That's the important part. What if we allow God to scatter us into the world, to spread us around, to spread the grace that's bubbling up in us into our neighbors and neighborhoods, into our communities, into our friends and family, into our world? What if we are scattered and we take this approach that we are being planted out there for others to see, and so that we might bear fruit, so that those seeds planted through us, as us, bear fruit? Because here's the thing about a crop that comes up, right? Any crop that bears fruit, where do you get the seed for the next year? Where do you get the seed for the next harvest? It comes out of the fruit. You take a portion of it and you hold on to it. So any crop that bears 160 or 30-fold, that's a lot of seed for the next planting. That's a lot of multiplication of ministry out into the world. If we live our lives of seed, as we come to this place of faith where we know that we're going to invest ourselves in the good soil of our life, if we come to this place where we decide we're going to turn from the hard-packed, rocky, and thorny places in us so that we can let God bear fruit in us through the good soil of our life, if we turn that way and we allow God to use us as seed to scatter us out into the world, then we can know that God is going to create a harvest out there in the world that's 160 or 30-fold. It's going to multiply from us 160 or 30-fold if we allow God to take the good soil of us and to scatter our grace, our love, God's grace and love through us out into the world. We can know that that's going to bear fruit, that's going to create even more plantings and harvests in the future. So the question for us this day and every day, as we move about our lives in this life of discipleship, as we move about our lives in this way of faith, the question we need to hold on to always, that we need to evaluate ourselves and our life from, is where's the fruit? Where's the fruit in us? Where's the fruitfulness in our life? Wherever it is, that's where we need to be. We need to be investing in that fruitfulness that's coming from us, our gifts, our passions, our strengths for ministry, the call that God has put on us, so that we can begin to see God work that good soil, God plant in that good soil, God create a new harvest in us so that we can be scattered out into the world and so that we can see even more people come to know the good news, the grace of Jesus Christ. Where's the fruit in us? Let's be there. Let's be there. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Almighty God, we give you thanks for sowing your word, your grace, your love, your compassion, your mercy into us, for scattering seed in our heart and life so that we might come to know you better, so that we might come to have your grace spread abroad in us, so that we might come to have our hearts strangely warmed, so that we might come to a place where we know what you're calling us to do and how you're calling us to do it, so that we can be scattered into the world, so that we can be thrown into mission and ministry, so that we can be sown into our neighbors and family and friends, into our communities and neighborhoods, into our city and state. We ask that you would reveal your Holy Spirit to us this day and show us the places of good soil in us and around us. Show us how we can invest in that good soil in our life and be a part of your kingdom harvest. Give us the strength and courage to live our lives from that place, from that place of good soil that you have created in us and created us for. We ask these things in the name of Jesus the Christ, the one who came and sowed the seed of your kingdom, sowed the good news of the gospel through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection. Amen. We turn now and seek to respond to the proclamation of the gospel. We turn to the Apostles' Creed as we profess our faith. I invite those at home to join me as we profess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
As we prepare to give back to God out of all that God has so graciously given to us, I just want to remind you of our giving options at Grace. You can give online at www.gracecolumbia.org. There are giving links on both the left-hand side of the page and the right-hand side of the page if you're on a desktop. If you're on a mobile device, the giving link is under the menu tab, and you can find those giving links there. You can use those giving links to either set up an account, or you can give as a guest. And if you set up an account, you can set up a recurring gift, or you can give one time. You can give one time as a guest as well. You can give to the General Operating Fund, which is the fund that we use for our operating budget year to year, or you can give to one of our other funds for a specific mission or ministry as they are listed on that online page. You can also give by mailing your offering or dropping it by the church using the mailbox outside during the week. For those who are worshiping in person today, you all are invited to place your offering in the offering plates at the doors as you leave worship today if you didn't place it in the offering plate as you came in. And so we offer these ways to give back to God out of all that God has so graciously given to us. And this day, as you all prepare yourselves for how you want to give and in what way you want to give to the church today, we just want to celebrate and say another word of thanks to Dr. John Waddell for preaching for me last week, as well as for the Reverend Tammy Gray, who was our pastor on call while I was gone on vacation a couple of weeks ago. And I praise God for both of them and thank them for filling in for me in those ways. I also want to say a word of thanks to all those who were leading and volunteering to make worship happen, for all of those that you see up front, for Susan and Mark and Cecile, and for Sam, as well as those you don't see. We've got Michael and Clay making sure you can see us online and hear us in the room with our sound, but also this morning we've got Sam Floyd and Alice Jones and Billy Thompson as our volunteers, and we've had others, Marlon and David Rothholtz, who've also been coming to help and to help us get here to be able to worship in person. I also want to celebrate and just say thanks to all of you who've decided to come and worship with us in person, to take the step of seeing how well our processes actually work. I know that in this day of pandemic, coming to church feels risky. It is risky, and I praise God for you coming and being a part of our worship, for making that decision and trusting us to be able to come and worship with us here in the sanctuary, even though it's weird and our ways that we worship have changed a little bit. But I praise God for all of you. This morning, now that we've prepared our hearts and lives to give back to God, let us pray. God of the universe, we come to worship this morning longing to set our minds on the Holy Spirit, to live with Christ within us. We have not always made room for Christ in the clutter of our lives. We have indulged our wants so often that too often the voice of the Spirit is drowned out. As we dedicate these gifts this morning, may it help us to live more in tune with the Spirit and to use our resources in a way that reflects that Christ is Lord of all our lives. In His holy name we pray. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
We worship through the singing of I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Oh, none go with me, still I will follow. Oh, none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back.
This time we invite Billy Thompson, our chair of SPRC, to come for an order of recognition of the continuing appointment to Grace.
Friends, today as we celebrate that Reverend Rhett Hazelden has been reappointed to serve as our pastor, we believe he is well qualified and has again been prayerfully appointed to Grace United Methodist Church by our bishop, Jonathan Holston. Pastor Rhett, you have been sent again to serve among us as a bearer of the Word of God, minister of the sacraments, and a sustainer of the love, order, and discipleship of the people of God.
Today, I reaffirm this commitment in the presence of this congregation called Grace.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, as a people committed to participate in the ministries of the church, we will celebrate, support, and uphold Pastor Rhett, reaffirming our covenant to support the church through our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. Let us pray. Eternal God, strengthen and sustain us in our ministries together with Reverend Hazelden as our pastor. Give him and us patience, courage, and wisdom, so to care for one another and challenge one another, that together we may follow Jesus Christ, living together in love and offering our gifts and talents in your service. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Billy.
Thank you.
And at this time, we have a chance to profess our mission. Our mission at Grace is to know Jesus and to make him known to others. And now receive this benediction. Go into the world to be good soil. To be good soil and to live from the good soil of your life, to allow God to scatter the seed of God's grace and God's love and God's mercy through you into the world to all that you meet. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Shalom to you now. Shalom, my friends. May God's full mercies bless you, my friends. In all your living, and through your loving, Christ be your shalom. Christ be your